morning, I'm excited to share with you. Thank you, Sam. I really agree with the presence of God being here this morning. And definitely not something we have to take lightly. Okay. Yeah, so this morning, a lot of things is happening in the background that I think most of us are not aware of. But I just want us to take quickly a moment. If you have any word, anyone to share this morning, any prophetic or anything, please come up and share quickly with me. Anyone has a word on their heart for the church or the congregation or anything like that, please come and share with me. Cool, then if there is no one, then I'll just continue with my sermon this morning. But I want us to not focus on the distractions around you, because there's so many stuff happening. And I'm feeling the Lord is saying to us, keep focused. Do not forget last week. Do not forget the presence of me when I was here with you. Do not despise that. Focus on me this morning. And I think that's maybe a word for myself as well. So, this morning, let's focus on Jesus. Let's fix our eyes on Him. This morning, the worship was all about Him. We come to church because we want to worship Him. He's worthy of it all. And this morning, the word that God laid on my heart this morning, the reason why I took off my shoes, for those who are wondering why I'm preaching myself, I'm standing on holy ground this morning. And I'm acknowledging the fact that when I'm standing on holy ground, God told Moses to remove the shoes from his feet. And that's exactly what I'm feeling this morning. God's leading me into as I'm about to share the word that the Lord laid on my heart. So this morning we're going to speak about communion. Communion is such an important but such an intimate moment with Jesus. It's an intimate moment that no one can ever explain. When Jesus broke the bread during that time, I'm hoping to try and tell you and to show you what is it that God is really wanting us to see when we do partake of the bread and the wine and all the juice that's in front of us. That is not just elements of physical man-made stuff, but it's instructed by God, because God said, whenever you do this in remembrance of me. And the Greek word for that is to fellowship. The meaning is fellowshipping.
I come and lay down all distractions, Lord. Come and bind it in the name of Jesus, Lord. We come and pray and we try to focus on you this morning. Come and pray against any attacks from the enemy attacking our minds this morning. We declare it null and void in Jesus' name. And we consecrate our hearts to you now, Lord, and our ears and our spirits, Lord, to receive the word that you want us to receive this morning. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So communion is not only a physical thing that's happening, but it's such a spiritual moment when it comes to what is that it's actually happening at that moment. Because when we have communion, it's not what we see in front of us that's happening. The same with baptisms. Baptism is not something that we see physically that's happening, but with baptism, something spiritual happens. When someone is baptized, what happens is that person is saying, I'm dying to Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Therefore, the will of Bradley is no longer there, but the will of the Father is there. And whenever you speak to someone who has been involved in Satanism, they will tell you, whenever they saw someone who's baptized, there's something different towards that. And that is the thing that I want us to take away today, that we are not physically going to take bread and wine, but we're going to have intimacy with God. The holiness of that can't be explained by human minds, can't be understood by our human minds, but it can only understand when we open up to the supernatural that God is wanting to show us. How He becomes intimate with us in that moment. How we are having communion with Him in this moment. When you are baptized and you renounce God and you say, I want to follow the devil, which is Satan, and you want to go into Satanism, you, when you are baptized as a person, you can't reach any higher levels because your baptism is blocking you. You can do all the rituals in the world, but it won't get you to the level that you want. You won't get to the level of the power because being baptized blocks you. How amazing is that? How beautiful is that? That when you are baptized, something is different in your spirit. And the enemy knows it, and the people who practice this stuff knows it. But us as Christians, we take it for granted sometimes. We're taking it for granted because we're saying that, God, there's no power in this. This is just someone laying down his life, confessing. I don't even know if that person's heart is in the right place. That is the questions that we ask ourselves. But God's saying it's deeper and it's much holier than you think because of what I am doing. The same with communion. God is the one who gave us communion. This is his actual body laying in front of you saying, this is my body. I'm giving you my body. When you get married to a husband and wife, get married, they say, this is my body, which what I honor you with. Everything I am, I give to you. Soul, body, spirit, every single thing is yours. When you look into Jesus inviting us to this, he's saying to us, everything that I am sharing it with you. No longer do I call you slaves, but I call you friends. Because with friends, I share my heart and I share my deepest heart desires. So where does communion come from? Let's go back into scripture. In the book of Exodus 12, during the time the Israelites were in slavery in Egypt, and God sent Moses to them to say, Moses, go and fetch my people. And we know that Moses, when he had this meeting with God, he was working for his father-in-law. He had a few wives already, but God called him and said, Moses, I'm sending you to go and fetch my people in Egypt and to bring them out of Egypt. And we know that Moses said to God, hey God, I don't think I can. I'm not equipped for this. And God said, don't worry, I'm going with you. And whoever asks you who's sending you, just tell them, I am send you. And in Exodus 12, the background behind this is now the 10 plagues has already been started. And we know that the 10 plagues God used because he's hardened Pharaoh's heart. And he's taken the 10 plagues to show them who is God. The one of the last plagues is that where God says to Moses and Aaron, and he says to them, okay guys, what I want you to do tonight is to have a meal. They're like, what? We must eat. We should eat every night. But God said, I want you to have a specific meal. And this is what I want you to do with this meal. Because I'm going to send a plague tonight where I'm going to take all the firstborns from all the people in Egypt. And I'm going to take each one of their lives. So the spirit of death is going to come across and he's going to take the lives. But I want you, each one in its own house, to have a meal together. A meal that is as follow, and it will be called Passover. And we know that in that time, a lamb was slaughtered, but there was a specific way that the lamb had to be made and everything, and the bread had to be made. And we know that Passover was a week thing, a little bit more than a week. The Bible speaks about 7 days. But when it comes to Passover, the night of the Passover, what happened was that the Israelites were passed over because of the blood of the lamb that they had to paint on the doorpost, as you see in the picture. And why was it important for them to do that? Because the blood had to be shed for them to be set free from death. How beautiful is that? So God saying to them, and the Lord said to them, to Moses and Aaron, this is the statue of Passover. No foreigner shall eat it. But every slave who is brought with money after it have been circumcised No foreigner or hired worker may eat of it. It shall be eaten in one house. You shall not take any of the flesh outside of the house. And you shall not break its bones. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. If a stranger or a foreigner with you and would be in Passover, let that male be circumcised. Then come near and keep it, and he shall be as a native in the land. So meaning God saying he will be invited into my kingdom. But no circumcision person shall eat of it. There is one law and a native and the stranger of the foreigners among you. All the people in Israel did it, and the Lord commanded, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. And on that very day, the Lord brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. So God saying that evening before, you must have this meal and you must paint this doorpost of you guys. And the blood will be set there as a symbol that you are exempt from what's being done or what I'm sending to this nation. And we know that the next morning, what happens is that Pharaoh then calls Moses and Aaron and says, take your people and get out of here, because his son also died. And remember, Pharaoh called himself a god, saying, I am God. I am God. And God said, okay, let me show you. And the real God spoke. And the real God spoke in a way that no one else could ever imagine what's going to happen. And the real God was more powerful than the Pharaoh who said that he was a god. And that is what I'm wanting us to take away. So the Passover happened and the Israelites were set free and they were taken out of Egypt and they were taken to a different, they were free from slavery. Free from slavery, free to everything. They were no longer bondage by Pharaoh. They were no longer Pharaoh's people, but now they became the Lord's people, because God has chosen them. Sam, can you give me some water, please? Thank you, man. And God, that very next day, let them out and said, there you go, you are free. You are no longer bound, because the blood covers you. And then we go to the book of Luke. And now Jesus, a few hundreds and thousands of years later, Jesus comes to earth. Merci. So Jesus comes to earth a few years later, and God sent himself to come to us. And during that time, while he was on earth, we know that he did many miracles. He walked, he teach, he taught. He did everything. He taught us, he taught the disciples how to pray. In the book of Luke, when you read the book of Luke 22, where he's busy in saying this Last Supper. Because remember, Passover then went with the Israelites and they celebrated it as a milestone to remember where they came from. So every time they had Passover, they remembered that they were slaves, but now they are free. They remembered that they were in Egypt listening to someone else calling the shots, but now they are free. And their God is a loving, caring Father. They have now known the God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth. And Luke then goes on, and we know that throughout the Bible of the book of Luke, this is now the time when Jesus' journey on earth is coming to an end. And Jesus said to them, but before I go, I would love to have Passover with you. And he came to that hour and he reclined at the table. But before they came to this place, we know that Jesus now and his disciples have been dwelling here as his 12 disciples who's been walking with him the road. He sends Peter and John ahead to say, hey, go to this guy's house. Tell him we are here to prepare the upper room. Go up into the upper room, prepare it, set it up for us. We are coming. So Jesus already has everything. And we know that the background of Luke is that Luke is important. Timeline is very important. So how he, chronological order is very important to look. So how the time flows and what is happening in that moment is what we need to look at here this morning. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him said to him, and he said to them, I earnestly desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So the Passover then was a celebration and one of the feasts that the Israelites celebrated every single time. And God was specific which time of the month that needs to happen and the period that needs to happen. For I tell you, and then Jesus goes on saying, for I tell you, I will not eat until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, and he took this and he divided amongst themselves. For I tell you, from now onward, I will not drink from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And we know that in that moment, Jesus took the bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after you have eaten, he says, this is the cup poured out for you. It is the new covenant of my blood. Jesus is now saying, you remember the Passover that you had in Egypt where God instituted the Passover? You know what I'm doing now? I'm bringing it into fulfillment. Because they had to slaughter a lamb and the blood of the lamb was at the doorpost. Because that is the sign that they belonged to God. And Jesus is saying, before I go, I would just like to bring this into fulfillment to say that, guys, the prophecies and everything that you've heard is all about me. I am the one who's bringing everything into pass to saying that I am the perfect Lamb who was slain for the saints, for the sins of the world, who by in who we have life and life abundantly. Through the blood of Jesus and the crucifixion, we are able to stand here today and to be amongst each other. We are no longer slaves, but we are set free because the blood covers us. So when the spirit of death comes around to our houses, what happens is that we know that when we close our eyes here, we're opening our eyes in heaven. We know that we're no longer bound to this country, this world, or it's the dominions or everything that's going on, or the principalities or anything, because those who are in Christ is a new creation. Jesus said, this is my blood. I'm doing a new covenant with you. And this morning when you look at that element, I want you to think about that. What does it mean for me? How does it make me feel? How does it make me feel as a person? Does it make me feel worthy? Does it make me feel like I'm allowed to partake in that? How does it make me feel? What is God saying in my heart? What is the Holy Spirit ministering to me this morning? Because the blood has been shed on the cross of the skull. The cross, Jesus' blood was shed for us. And therefore, we are able to stand here. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, none of us would have been here today. But we know that throughout the Bible, we get different revelations and we also get some warnings and stuff and some guidelines. So this morning when I read this passage in 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul is speaking to the church of Corinth. So the church of Corinth is a church like us. Diverse, different people, different backgrounds, different groups of people, Gentiles. They were quite a big church. But Paul is speaking to the church to say that it's come across the whole book of Corinth, the first of Corinthians. He says to them, I'm bringing this charge against you that there is division amongst you. And this division we need to address because God has called us for unity. And we know that in the whole book of first Corinthians, Paul is responding on a letter that was sent to him by Priscilla. And the book goes on, and I'm not going to speak about the whole thing, but I'm just going to refer to 1 Corinthians 11 this morning. So he's speaking to the church of Corinth, and he's saying to them, let me just get my... So he's speaking to them about a whole bunch of stuff, but one of the biggest things that he's speaking to them about is about the Lord's Supper. He's saying to them, when you do the Lord's Supper, there are rules in which God has set it out to be done. Just like when the Passover happened, God gave them certain ways to do it because God is a God of order. God is a God of order. Order is important for him. And Paul is writing this to this church, and he's saying to them, for I have received to say that you guys, when you come and you gather at the Lord's table, so now Jesus has called it the Lord's table because it's him that instituted this meal. This is the gospel. Paul saying to them, when you go and you eat at the Lord's table, don't come hungry. Don't come hungry. Eat at your house. Because when you come into the Lord's table, don't come and overindulge to fill yourself. There's rules. This is holy. He's saying to them, out of love, he's saying to them, guys, if you're hungry, eat at home. Don't come hungry and want to indulge everything. And he's also saying to them that, remember, guys, this is a new covenant that God, that Jesus, God has given us. So let's respect it for that. And he goes on, and this is the part where I want us to focus on this morning. Whoever eats and drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood. Let each person examine himself then, and so to eat and drink from the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body that eats and drinks, drinks a judgment over himself. So Paul's saying to us, guys, this is holy. We are in this world, and therefore we will fall short of being righteous. But when you do this, examine your heart. Examine your heart towards your family, towards your brothers, and everyone around you. And if you have anything, repent. Before God, say, God, forgive me. Forgive me, for I have done this. But the church of Corinth is worse. He's Paul saying to them, guys, there's division among you because you know what? There's sexual immorality among you. There's sexual immorality among this church because of the church leader sleeping with the temple prostitutes back then. And therefore, I'm writing this to say to you, what you guys are doing is wrong. And we know that after this warning, he says to you, and therefore, that's why so many of the people among you are sick. And some have even gone to sleep. Some have even died. And Paul's saying to them, guys, you have taken away the holiness of this. You have not respected this. And to us as a church this morning, I'm not saying that we have not respecting this. I'm not saying that we have taken the holiness out of this. I'm reminding us that how holy this is. And I'm reminding us the importance of it as well. Because God, in the book of Genesis, in the book of Exodus already, showed us how he will save the world. And this morning, we have the opportunity to partake in that. We have the opportunity because the Bible says this is for new believers. Everyone who believes that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him on the third day and he's seated at the right hand of the Father and rules and reigns over everything and all the principalities, he shall be saved. Romans 10. So this morning, if you have not confessed with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you have the opportunity. Not because I said so, but because that is holy. that what you're seeing there can look and does look for your physical eyes like just juice and bread. But it's we having intimacy with the God who made and created everything. A God who's holy and has called us to be holy. The book of Leviticus says, therefore be holy as I am holy. So let us all stand together as we partake into the communion this morning. Sam, if you can just lead us. And like I said, guys, this is not an HKL parade. It's not. It's about our hearts this morning. And it's about understanding the holiness of what it is that we're partaking. That is the best sermon someone will ever preach to you. No other sermon is above that sermon. No other thing is above that thing. Because that is Jesus Himself giving and sharing Himself with us. And let's all close our eyes this morning. And let's examine our hearts this morning. If you have never come to the or confessed with your mouth and believe into your with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you have never had the opportunity to say, God, I surrender everything that I am to you. God, I'm giving up my will to follow your will today. God, I'm believing that you are who you say you are. If that is you, I would love you just to raise your hands, every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. If that is you, please just raise your hands in surrender to God and saying, God, that's me. I want to partake in this holy moment with you. But I understand that if I've not confessed with my heart and believe with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that I can't partake into this. So for those who have raised their hands, I want us to pray together. Jesus, you are King. You are Lord. You are Healer. Thank you for your life. Thank you that your light was given so that I could live. This morning, God, I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him on the third day and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for each and every person who confessed, Lord. Thank you that we can confess daily our love for you. Thank you that we can lay down our lives before you today. I'm going to give you a moment just to, in your own space, examine your hearts. Remember, if you confess, the Bible says, nothing in this world can separate you from the love of the Father. No darkness, no principality, nothing can separate you. Therefore, once you've confessed, you are exempt from each and everything. You are no longer bound to sin, but you are redeemed because you have said, Jesus, I am following you. I'm turning my life to you. So as you examine your heart this morning, and you have confessed and you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, I want you to examine your heart, but I don't want you to be legalistic about this, please. Because we intend to go too legalistic about things. I'm not saying if you skipped reading your Bible, you're not allowed to partake if you have anything like that. But I want you to know that you are loved And the blood of Jesus washes you clean. And that's how you can partake in that. It's not our striving. It's not the what we do. It's not how many times we pray. It's not how many times we fast that allows us to partake into this holy moment. It's only through Jesus. And with every eye closed, I want just you to do business with the Lord this morning. In your own words. And once you're ready, you're welcome to step up and take the elements. But I don't want you to rush this morning. That's why I didn't preach too long, because it's not about me. I must move out of the way so Christ can be magnified and lifted up. And I must move out of the way so God can meet with you this morning. So I want you to be with Jesus as you partake in the communion this morning. The band will minister to us this morning. We'll give them some time to as well. So Don, if you can just pop some background music. But I don't want us to rush it this morning, guys. This is holiness. This is holy. Let's partake into our Father's table this morning. What a beautiful message to know. That I can partake into the Kings of Kings table, eh? I can sit around the table and knowing that God, eh? I'm saved because of you, nothing else. And let's partake into that this morning. Once you're ready, you can have.
It's like Moses was a foreshadowing of that moment when Jesus was worthy, when he was made worthy to open the scroll.
Amen. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, God. You are worthy, worthy, worthy. You are holy, God. There is none like you, Lord. No one can compare to you, God. Thank you, Jesus, that you've given us everything and so much more. Thank you that we have life because of you. We love you, Lord. We give you everything and we give you our hearts, worship, Lord. And we come today, as Paul says, Lord, and we lay down our lives as a living sacrifice for you. To say, have your will, Jesus, have your way in and through our lives today. May the world out there know that you are alive. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. And the Lord may be gracious to you. Therefore, go in peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to have some coffee here right now.